Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Shane Norling in the building, friend of the show.
So, how are you, my guy?
I'm good, man. Excited to talk some football.
I'm always never excited get enough.
Even in the middle of June,
even,
late
listen,
June, even.
Listen, at this point, as EO said, we're down to bringing on the C team at times on the show.
Oh, what the hell, dude?
I wasn't saying you specifically.
Felt like
I wasn't called. Well, did it?
Sure.
That
sure
might have been like personal. That might have been personal.
Yeah, that
for you.
Was an attack.
You might have felt that.
We got a problem.
We got a problem now. No, I kid. We love having Shay on the show, and Shay, one of the few guests who brings his own material. You are going to be dictating what we talk about on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. By the way, hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. There's no split team today, my boy. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I was told to bring some NFL bold predictions for the 2024 Ooh. Season, and you can tell me if they're can I swear?
Yeah.
You can tell me if they're bullshit or not.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's do it.
So I'm excited to get into this. I'm going to start with the New York Football Jets and Aaron Rodgers.
Just a general yes.
Because I keep hearing people talk about Aaron Rodgers is back. The defense is so good. They went out, got Tyron Smith, the left tackle out of Dallas. They've improved their roster. It's so good, all the weapons in the receiving room.
Yeah.
Obviously, Breece Hall gets healthy. This team's going to go win the AFC East. Rodgers will contend for MVP. They're going to be a playoff threat. Bold prediction number one, this team's going to be a total disaster. Total disaster. Now, granted, the threshold for the Jets to be a total disaster, given what they have, is basically just miss the playoffs.
Yeah,
I don't need them to go 4-13 or whatever.
Okay.
8-9 would be an unmitigated disaster for the New York Jets. But you think about what's going on with their minicamp, and I don't think people are highlighting some of these issues enough. A, they went out and traded for Hassan Reddick from Philadelphia, right? Put him on the roster as a pass rusher. He doesn't show up to minicamp because they won't pay him. Well, then why'd you trade for him? Why would you trade for a guy that you have no interest in extending? This GM, Joe Douglas, continues to do baffling thing after baffling thing.
It feels Carolina-ish. I'm not going to lie
to
you. Yeah, it does feel a little Carolina-ish.
Let me ask you this. Who's in charge at the New York Jets football facilities? Who's the number one guy?
Aaron Rodgers, for sure.
It ain't Joe Douglas. It ain't Robert Saleh, probably should have fired last year. Instead, they bring him back so he can rock out at minicamp with this whole Aaron Rodgers is not here. It's an inexcused absence, but it's not a problem. Well, if it's not a problem, then it's an excused absence.
Yeah,
why would you say it's an excused, but it's not a problem?
I also can't wait for Aaron Rodgers to show back up like for training camp and immediately throw Robert Saleh under the bus.
Yeah.
Like, we know that's coming, right? Like, we know it's going to be literally, oh, well, you know, I don't even know why we were talking about this while I was gone. You know, I told the team I'd be gone and we understood it. And, you know, I'll talk to Robert about that. And it's like, what, are you going to put him in timeout? Like, that's what's coming.
There's rumors already that he's been unhappy with Nathaniel Hackett. By the way, his buddy, who he, like, handpicked to come over to the Jets with him as the offensive coordinator. Already, look, we know what happened in Green Bay. He was freelancing the offense. Yeah. LaFleur was sick of it. Surprise, Rodgers leaves and the Packers get better.
Matt LaFleur also is a good head coach. You know what I mean?
Right. That's
it's like you magically realize, like, oh, wait, this dude can coach? I thought it was Rodgers the whole time.
The Jets have a really good roster. They have a really good defense. Yeah. I love their receivers. Garrett Wilson's a stud. It just foundationally in the front office and in the coaching staff, it feels like a mess. And when you let the quarterback, who's going to be 41 now, off an Achilles injury, run your franchise – I refuse to believe things are going to go as well as you're expecting.
Here's why I think it won't be a disaster. Why I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they'll be the best team in the playoffs. I don't think that they'll be the number one, but I do think they'll make the playoffs because the one thing that I've seen from Aaron Rodgers time and time again is, and I get it, he's older, it's a different Aaron Rodgers, but when you count him out, he usually comes riding in on his drug-filled white horse and usually is able to get the job done. That masks a lot of stuff. That like everything, every crack that you see in the front office, every bit of crack you see in the front office, maybe. I don't know what's going on there. There's a lot of drugs around Jets camp, apparently. But, you know, like, it's patched over as if you're able to go out there and win. And the one thing I think that Aaron Rodgers will be able to do with this team, especially with the defense, like, it's not even like he has to be the Aaron Rodgers. Like, he could be the Peyton Manning version that we saw in Denver that final year and just be like, dude, just go out there and don't throw more interceptions than touchdowns, which you never do. And that team should be good enough to be a playoff team. I think that they won't be a complete disaster, but I think we who pay attention closer than most will look at the Jet situation and be like, no, we see the pig behind that lipstick. You can't hide it from us.
I'm telling you, I think they're going to miss the playoffs. And I really, like, you look at the last time Rodgers was in Green Bay, full season healthy, was one of the worst seasons of his career. Wasn't bad by any stretch. It was an Aaron Rodgers season. And at the end of it, we're all watching, oh, maybe they really will run the table here at the end of the season and make the playoffs. And what happens, instead of the classic Rodgers storybook ending, you lose to an eliminated Detroit team at home in primetime in Green Bay final week. And then you up and leave, Achilles injury 4 plays into your season, coming back focused on everything but football now.
Also threw your coach under the bus.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just hasn't been about football with him. And everybody's giving him the benefit of the doubt. I get it. You have a storied career like this. Yeah. You deserve it. But he's getting almost the Tom Brady deference from a lot of people. He has not achieved what Tom Brady achieved.
No. But what I think the thing is, how many times have we said Aaron Rodgers is done, it's over, it's time to move on? When they drafted Jordan Love, we were like, the future's now, and then he won 2 MVPs. You know what I mean? So it is, and maybe it's Bears fans PTD, right? Like, maybe that's what
I was going to ask, because who was really saying the future's now when they drafted Jordan Love? I remember the Packers getting clowned for drafting a quarterback in the first round when they had Rodgers on the team. And then he got pissed. It's part of why he wanted to leave.
Right, but that's the whole – the contract was coming up. Everybody's like, well, they just drafted a quarterback. They're clearly not going to just acquiesce to whatever he says. They do, right? Because they're like, we're not putting Jordan Love out there. And then he wins 2 MVPs, and now the storyline goes from, oh, Aaron Rodgers is being difficult to deal with and all of this to – well, he is still one of the best quarterbacks in football. You kind of got to acquiesce to his whim.
Is he, though? Like, that's where I draw the line now is...
I don't know if he still is. Coming off an Achilles injury.
At his age.
I don't know.
And also, the next generation of quarterbacks is elevated so much. And you have Mahomes and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson, and CJ Stroud, all these new players. Is Rodgers still in that top 7 group? I don't know. Even if he's... I think he's good at 41. I don't know if he's in that group.
I don't think he's top 7. I think he's probably top 10 to 12. Just coming off an injury. We can't, right? We don't know anything about what he's going to come back and do because we didn't see anything last year. But top 10 to 12 could get you a playoff spot with that Jets team.
Here's what I will say, though. Enough.
It will be a failure because they will not win a Super Bowl.
Agree.
So that should be their goal. Yes, that's the only goal that they can have for the deal that they gave up.
Absolutely.
Do they get that pick back, though? Wasn't there a stipulation in the trade that, like, half of the picks that they sent? I don't remember exactly what the trade was, but wasn't there, like, a time on the field clause
in
the trade?
He had to play, like, 61% or something like that of the snaps. He had to play a certain snap.
So they got all their picks back.
But I don't think they get a pick back. I just think they send a worse pick to Green Bay.
Was that what it was? I thought the picks were conditional on...
Green Bay got... the Jets' first-round pick because he didn't play 65% of the snaps. So the Jets had to give
him the pick. So the Jets already – that makes sense. Oh. So the Jets already lost the better of the picks.
Okay. The Jets weren't sending
again,
him. I don't know if people heard that. The Jets had to give up their first-round pick basically because Aaron Rodgers didn't play last season.
That's where, like, you look at this whole situation and the front office there and everybody involved, they need an organizational enema. They need to be totally cleaned out. I don't think this is going to go well, and I think we're going to see it. Joe Douglas, goodbye. Saleh, goodbye. Rodgers, goodbye. And then you're back at square one without a quarterback. Have fun.
Yeah. And you probably
you probably
should have attacked that.
Hate to see it.
You probably if you just kept building the team is good. There's so much good on this team. If you just kept building the team and you were as bad as you were last season, you probably get a quarterback this year.
Well,
in the draft this year.
They got Jordan Travis out of Florida State. Now he's broke his leg
at
the end of last season. But, hey, cross your fingers. Maybe he's awesome.
Well, not based on the Jets' history, but we'll see.
You want number two?
Let's do it.
Jacksonville Jaguars will be last place in the AFC South. And Trevor Lawrence's $55 million contract extension is going to be looked at as the worst contract in football.
It's almost like you're speaking to my soul here, Shay. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry. Like, we can stop. And the only reason that he's not talked about more is because he's in Jacksonville and we do not care about anything that happens in Jacksonville. Because Trevor Lawrence, people talk about Justin Fields like he was the first overall pick that year. He was 11. We remember that, right? The first overall pick is a bust. People are excited about Trevor Lawrence because he was able to come back in a game versus the Chargers and win a playoff game. And that was the answer for why he's the future. No, you know what that was? That was him having to do anything and being able to just finally let it rip because he threw four interceptions in the first half. He's not a quarterback that I think – 55 – the contract is insane. But I guess,
a year, man.
I guess if you're Jacksonville and you're like, well, we're not going to do better than this. We might as well commit. Like, okay, I can almost go down that thought process with you. But you don't have the quarterback that's going to be the leader of your team. And I don't believe that you built a team that can insulate how he is as a quarterback.
That's my problem. Number one with them is the offensive line is not better enough. It was one of the worst lines in football. When you are a team that has Travis Etienne and you can't run the ball, that just shows your line and your play calling is atrocious.
Yeah.
Bad news. Doug Peterson sticking with Bress Taylor, his offensive coordinator from last year, who was an absolute disaster as the play caller this year. I mean, you think about the year Doug Peterson got there after Urban Meyer left. It was Trevor Lawrence looked like a top five passer, had this incredible season. Dougie P's calling the plays as the head coach. Schemes beautiful, similar to what happened with Carson Wentz and Nick Foles in Philadelphia when Peterson was there. Hands the play sheet over to Press Taylor last year. Whole fucking thing falls apart.
Yeah.
And so I just look at this team and I'm like, you didn't upgrade the offensive line enough. You got
Mitch
Morse.
He is taking over play calling duties, though. Doug Peterson is taking back play calling duties.
Is he?
That's what the report was. I don't know whether he does it or not, but
because last year I couldn't even get info on if Press Taylor was actually calling the plays. It was a rumor.
What's he doing? Is he doing the naggy?
Look, man, I'm just, if you're going to tell me that I'm taking the play sheet back, brother, I hope, but I don't know that I believe you.
Yeah.
Last year, you wouldn't tell us if you had it in the first place. The offense was a mess. Your line's atrocious. You went out and got Mitch Morse, but everybody else is pretty much the same. Defensively, they were a nightmare.
Yeah.
This is a bad football team that just paid their quarterback through the nose, and he's been average.
He feels – Trevor Lawrence will give you a half a season where he shows you the flashes that you want to see. And I think last year that was kind of the second half of the season. It was still a lot of ups and downs, but the second half was better. When I see him, like, I know people, like, he was the last guy before Caleb to get the generational tag. And I see him now in the NFL, and I'm just like, this dude's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, he's a little better than that.
Ryan Fitzpatrick would have a phenomenal half of a season where we would go, it's Fitzmagic. But you always knew it was going to run out. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick would have moments where we'd look at him and be like, right now, through this six games, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
I see what you're saying, but I think with Trevor, like, there's the one year I can look at and go, he was legitimately a top five player, and he had the meltdown in the playoffs in the first half. I've always told people.
Fitzpatrick, like, that year in Miami, you mean?
I've always told people, like, Trevor Lawrence, the comeback against the Chargers is great, but don't forget Brandon Staley forgot he had Justin Herbert on the team in the second half, exclusively tried to run, would not allow Herbert to throw. I think he had four pass attempts in the second half of that game. And Trevor Lawrence threw four interceptions. Like, why did he have to come back in the first place?
Yeah.
It's because he was abysmal in the first half. And what happened the following week? So, like, as much as you hear about, well, he had the playoff win and the comeback, great. The rest of the numbers look terrible. Yeah. And I don't think it's all his fault. He's in a bad spot. The offensive line stinks. his receivers. Like last year, Calvin Ridley comes in, but you got to get Calvin Ridley back. You haven't played football in a year. Now you expect me to believe in like a wide receiver room of Gabe Davis as your ostensible number one wide receiver and the rookie Brian Thomas Jr.
Your wide receiver room got worse.
Who do they, what do they got? Parker Washington as a threat over the middle. It's like who cares about
your
this?
Wide receiver room got worse.
It's a bad team, and I think the Titans are better. Titans Ooh. Come out. Now quarterback's a bigger question in Tennessee.
Yeah, but I don't know about that.
You go out and you get Calvin Ridley. You go out, fix your defensive line a little bit.
Yeah.
You go out, add L'Jarius Sneed via trade. That's an aggressive move. Yeah, like
D Hop there too. There's like DeAndre Hopkins there, right?
Yeah, still there.
Oh my God, like,
yeah, went out, signed Tony Pollard.
The receiver room over there is the one that Trevor Lawrence. I'm telling you.
And the offensive line got better. The kid they got in the draft, was it Latham? Who did they take?
J.C. Latham, I believe.
So you look at this, and I look at Tennessee, and if Will Levis can be decent, that's a better team than Jacksonville.
Will Levis is in a better spot to develop.
They play each other the final week of the season, I believe. Tennessee and Jacksonville, a divisional game. Yeah. That'll be the battle for last place in that division.
I don't disagree. That's a great take. I mean, I'm here for that one. I think that – when you look at Tennessee and how, like, it's the AFC South. Like, it's Houston's division. Have at it, right? Like, and it's the rest of the guys.
You want to get a little hotter?
No.
Watch out for Indy.
No.
Watch out for Indy. Hey,
I saw, you want to know why? No, because Anthony Richardson, again, will not complete a season.
That's because, the fear. That is fair.
No, because, and it's his fault. It's his fault. He came out, I believe, right before the draft, and he was on an interview, and they basically said, you know, how was your first year? You didn't get to play much. You know, what were your takeaways from it? And he went, I mean, it's funny because, like, the NFL felt a lot easier than college did. And I was like, oh, brother. You are not gonna. That was not a smart thing to say coming off of injury, knowing that teams are going to be looking to make sure that you have a bad day now. Like
he could get the Justin Fields game still slow to you moment, but
yeah.
The thing is though, like I don't blame him for saying it because if you watched him at Florida, he stunk.
Yeah,
and then if you watched him in Indianapolis when he was healthy, he looked like a weapon.
He looks like a weapon, but he just – I think we saw him four games, right? Three of the games he gets taken out early. The one game that he plays in, he has the game that he forces overtime. I forget who the team was, but solid back and forth and was throwing the football well. But it does feel like that Justin Fields moment, right, where he's like the game is too slow, and then they immediately are like, okay, let's speed things up for you.
Maybe.
When the season gets here, like
– I would just say the difference is he's got Shane Steichen on the sideline, who made his name as one of the best play callers in football in Philadelphia, took Jalen Hurts to the Super Bowl, similar style of quarterback. They're going to get a full season, we think, of Jonathan Taylor this year. The offensive line is good. Defensively, they were better than expected a year ago. They almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
So if Anthony Richardson can be better than Gardner Minshew, Houston, I think, is going to have a tougher schedule.
For sure.
Might have that sophomore slump kind of situation with Stroud. Everybody's got a year of tape. I know they went out and got a bunch of talent, Stephon Diggs.
You go get Diggs. You go get Joe Mixon. You add defensively. Danielle Hunter's over there, right? Is that who they added?
Yeah, the Joe Mixon thing I don't really care about. But Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, anybody staring down the barrel of that, that's tough. I just feel like they got to play the first-place schedule. Indianapolis doesn't.
Yeah.
People look at Indy like they're homeless for some reason. Like people start looking at I keep hearing this Indy stinks. I'm like, what planet are you on? Because I think this team's got a chance to be pretty good.
I think it all hinges on Anthony Richardson.
I'm not willing to say they will win the division, but I'll sit here and tell you they could.
I'll give Tennessee a better chance than Indy of winning the division.
Wow.
I'll give Tennessee a better chance than Indy. Like, I don't think Indy is – I think they've got a solid team, but they're going to rely so much on Anthony Richardson. And the thing is, without playing his rookie year, you never got that point where it was like, hey, stop running. You have to be a quarterback. or you're going to die. He just died.
Yeah, but
and so like you don't like you're coming into this season with that same, hey, we got to teach you to stay in the pocket. We got to teach you like you got to be in here and throw the football. Still use your legs. Don't take away the weapon, but you got to pick and choose when you use it and stop trying to run guys over. You never got to coach those things out of him throughout the season.
I know it's tough because he got hurt, but he's also built like Mechagodzilla. Like this dude's big Josh Allen. Josh Allen's big.
I feel you.
So it like if he can figure it out, that's where I go. You might have a top five quarterback talent if this guy is what he looked like in moments. He's not that right now.
Just stop
trying to run guys over.
We saw this with Cam Newton.
Well, it's what I don't want to see with Jaden Daniels, yeah. And it's why I think that might be one of the worst picks in the draft. That's not a take I'm willing to offer today, but I do think Washington made a colossal mistake not taking Drake May. You ready for three?
Let's do it.
By the end of this season, people are going to be wondering if the Chargers made a mistake with Jim Harbaugh. This, I keep seeing coach of the year. I keep seeing instant challenger to the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Explain to me how. They have nobody I care about in their receiver room. Nobody. Quentin Johnston, Josh Palmer,
yeah.
Justin Herbert's behind an offensive line that's got two nice tackles. One of them's a rookie.
Yeah.
You struggled to run the ball with Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler's gone, though.
Yeah.
He stunk, so we'll see. Maybe there's an upgrade in place. Defensively, everybody's a million years old and overpaid. Joey Bosa, I don't want to hear about him as a top pass rusher anymore. When he's available, he's inconsistent, and half the time he's not available. Khalil Mack's a million years old. Nice season last year, but does it make sense for him to be on this team? And Jim Harbaugh goes out and gets his old buddy Greg Roman to run this offense. I must have missed where Justin Herbert's Lamar Jackson or Colin Kaepernick. There's a bit of a style conflict here.
That one did throw me off. Like, literally, the biggest question we kept asking Greg Roman was, like, you going to throw it?
This guy hasn't been in the league for a decade. Everybody's like, well, he turns it around every stop that he makes. Oh, Michigan won year one with Harbaugh? I missed that.
But I think that's why your point is good on this one. I don't think long term.
No, I don't either.
It will be a bad decision, but I do think people will question it year one, just like people questioned it year one at Michigan, just like people questioned it year one in San Francisco. Because to me, Jim Harbaugh is a guy who's like, we're going to turn the ship, and I'm just going to stand at the front of it and push it instead of using the steering wheel. Like you're gonna. This is going to turn, but it's going to take time. And so I do think year one, there will be a ton of questions on it because he basically said, no, we're cleaning house. We're fixing. But I don't think it's the wrong decision. And it's tough to say because you've got a young quarterback that's making the right move, but you had a ton of money invested in guys that you didn't see a future in. And your back was against the wall to pay guys that you realized you really didn't have a future with. So I do think you needed to do this. We just don't like to see this when a team already has a good quarterback in place because it's like, well, you need to figure out how to maximize all of his years. But I think this is what the Chargers needed. Brandon Staley, like, for better or worse, like, had a lot of good players signed to bad deals that weren't future deals. It was like, we got to win right now. Yep. You didn't win. In fact, you didn't make the playoffs most of the time. Yep. I think that Jim Harbaugh is doing what's necessary. I don't think he'll be coach of the year. I don't think the hope should be massive. I think you should look at this year with Harbaugh the way that we looked at year one with Matt Eberflus.
Similar, maybe not quite as bad, but
better players are still there.
Like, yeah,
and we were down to Equanimeous St. Brown.
My whole point on this is I feel like nationally the media has placed a really unfair expectation on what's expected out of Jim Harbaugh in year one. And you have a quarterback in place and all that. If you really kind of zoom out and look at the roster, this should be one of the most difficult rebuilds in the NFL, getting out of cap hell with the players on that defense, guys like Derwin James, who's paid a ton of money, guys like Joey Bosa, eating a ton of money to not even be available or healthy. Like, that's their entire defense.
Yeah.
And the idea he's going to come in and year one, win coach of the year and challenge the AFC West. No, I don't see it.
I don't even see them making the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're a threat, and I think Jim Harbaugh expects
it. Yeah, I do too. And that's where I think at the end of the season, people are going to be like, oh, you brought in Jim Harbaugh. You paid all this money. What did you get out of it? It's like, dude, it was year one. And look, I'm kind of low on what I think they're going to be under his tenure. I think it's going to be short. people forget
4 years.
Harbaugh's history
is 4 years.
I wear thin on people.
He'll piss people off immediately.
He wore thin on everybody at Michigan. Everybody seems, because he made the playoffs twice, won the Big Ten twice, and won the national title, everybody forgets this is a dude who had his salary cut in half, and they wanted to fire him. They were praying that he would take an NFL job.
Yeah.
They took half his money away.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, though, right? Wearing thin only comes back into play when you start to lose. Jim got out on top.
Or when you don't win.
Right.
And that, like at Michigan, it was perfect because they took half his money and then he started winning and he had the president in his corner.
Yeah.
San Francisco, they weren't terrible, but they would get to the NFC title game and lose, or they'd get to the doorstep and lose.
They got to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, and lose to his brother.
Yeah.
There were all these different moments where it was like knocking on the door. But the affliction, I guess, of not winning at all.
Yeah,
and the reality of the situation with John Lynch in the front office, it wasn't going to work.
And it's a lot harder to do in the NFL. That's the thing, right? In how many of those years with Michigan making the college football playoffs or making, but we're just like, we just putting them in because it's Harbaugh and Michigan? Like, are they the best team that we can throw in here? Like, I feel like you don't have that grace. You don't have that grace in the NFL. It's based on whether you win or whether you lose. It doesn't matter what team you play. And so because of that, I think that, you went to the hardest division in football, basically.
Yeah, and in Michigan, you can stack your offensive line. You can get recruits that play your style of football, build it the way you want to play. You play in the Big Ten, which, just let's face it, you're going to get a little easier schedule than if you were in the SEC.
You get Illinois, you know what I mean?
it that style of football works. And in the NFL now in 2024, I don't know if time of possession, clock grind, power run, single back football is what's working in the NFL. And I don't know if – so I'm a little lower on Jim Harbaugh long-term there.
Greg Roman being there.
Dude, it just –
that's the question, dog.
The power run kind of option game that they both like to run. It's what they did. It's what he did with J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, and it's like what Greg Roman did with Colin Kaepernick. It's what Greg Roman did with Lamar.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to work anymore. So we'll see. And with Justin Herbert, it's not even the right quarterback.
I was going to say, it works if you got Lamar.
So we'll see. Also – On the topic of Greg Roman, former Ravens offensive coordinator, Ravens under 10.5 wins.
No, I think that defense is still too good. I think that you've got Zay Flowers. The part that needs to, why I'll say the over will come in, is because, at least my hope is, Lamar grows as a leader. And that continues to happen. Last year, I thought what lost them that game was his leadership failed them. They were the better football team in that game versus the Chiefs.
They were the better team.
And he let Zay Flowers lose his cool, who I would hope doesn't have those breakdown moments again. You let the team crumble under you. You let the play calling get to you. You let all of these things that you felt were not in your control get to you. And at the end of the day, I left that game going, Lamar let his football team down. And I think Lamar left that game going, I let my football team down. I got to be better as far as a leader in that moment. Lamar's a phenomenal player. He's the MVP of the league. He's a phenomenal player, but I think that was the first moment that we saw, hey, bud, your leadership has to put you over the top because you're worried that you're not the better team, and you played like you're worried that you're not the better team, yet your defense came out there and proved, no, we're the better team. Just score. Like, just get into the end zone one time.
For the love of everything, please score. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not even saying I disagree. I just have a different reason for why it happened in that game.
Let's do it.
I need Lamar to grow as a passer. I'm going to be just perfectly honest. I get it. MVP, exciting player, but he's won this MVP now. I don't believe he's thrown for 4,000 yards in either of his MVP seasons.
No.
So much of what he does is related to red zone runs designed to get into the end zone as a runner, score touchdowns for us. That's great. It's exciting. But when I watched that game against Kansas City and Spagnuolo's throwing blitzes basically every play and going, Lamar, we're going to put you in a spot where you have to make a quick decision every single play and it has to be in the air, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't buy this dude as a playoff passer. I don't. And when I look at the defense, they were graced with basically perfect health last season.
Yeah.
They had a genius defensive coordinator in Mike McDonald. He's gone.
Yeah.
Three of their defensive assistants gone.
Yeah.
Offensive line, three starters gone.
Yeah.
You went and got Derrick Henry, who, look, at some point, time's going to catch up to this cat.
I don't know, dog. He's got a little AP in him, bro, where like you just go. Like, remember AP came back, and what team was it? Washington he came back with? And you're like, there's like they brought him back for like 6 weeks, and they're like, there's no way AP's still that guy. And then like the first week, he puts up 140 yards, and you're like, what the heck are we watching right now?
Dude, but like Derrick Henry is 31. I'm like, at some point, this has to end.
You know what? It has to fall off at some point, but there are some guys who are the outlier. I remember we had Thomas Jones on the podcast, and he was one of those guys where – the Bears wanted to move on from him because, right, they draft Seti B, Cedric Benson, young guy come in. We're going to make this work. We're moving forward with a different running back. This is our future. And Thomas Jones, as he got older and left the Bears, continued to get better every season. He didn't retire because he got old. He retired because he was like, I'm done with the game. Everybody doesn't get that luxury. But I think Derrick Henry is one of those players where – We've been waiting for the fall off to come. The fall off came, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was a 1,200-yard season.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, he's not the same Derrick Henry anymore. It was a 1,200-yard season.
There are some things you can point to, like yards per carries down from where he was when he was in his peak. It feels like
offensive line got a lot worse, though. But yeah.
Well, again, Ravens lost three off starters on their offensive line, so I don't know if he's playing behind the best unit.
He's blocking. What are you talking about? And
on the defensive side of the ball, like, last year, the players are still great. They've still got studs on the defensive side. They're awesome. But you lose your coordinator, and a year ago, you led the league in tackles for loss, turnovers, and sacks. It's the first time in NFL history a team has led the league in all three of those statistics. Two of them, I think, are recreatable. Now, you're not going to lead the league in sacks and tackles for a loss again. You might rack them up.
Yeah.
You're not going to lead the league in both of them again. Probably you're just not.
Probably not.
Turnovers, you absolutely won't get the luck you had last year, especially not intercepting the football. That doesn't happen twice. It's luck.
Yeah.
Fumbles, it's a 50-50 shot. That ball hits the floor, that's all luck who comes up with it. Interceptions, it's the same thing we talk about with the Bears. Bears lead the league in interceptions a year ago. Don't count on it happening again.
Yeah.
It never does. It always has to regress. The idea that the Ravens defense was historically good and then loses their coordinator. They might still be good, but they won't be what they were a year ago. And if they're not, I think the offense has to be significantly better. And I still worry, like, that first year with Todd Monken, they started doing things differently, and Lamar kind of jumped the league again. You have a full year of film on it.
Yeah.
You have Spags showing you the blueprint, blitz this cat all day, and he has no clue what to do with the football. How much growth can I expect out of him? Because the offense has to be good enough to overcome a defense I think is going to be worse, and their win total's 10.5. I'm hitting under.
It's not – you're making good points. You're making good points. I can't argue with anything you said, but I think the one thing that we've seen from Lamar, especially in a newer system and not in the Greg Roman system where it was just like, no, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. They've had more willingness to adjust. They've had more willingness to adjust to Lamar's strengths, but also, Lamar, you've got to adjust to what we need you to do. And I think that he will grow as a passer. I think the fact that he has a weapon, that he has weaponry now, makes the biggest difference, right? Like the we saw Lamar, let's be real, during the season, we saw Lamar grow as a passer last year. Not as a playoff passer, but during the season as a regular season passer. All he did was go, hey, what if we gave you a number one wide receiver? How would that work for you? Well, like, literally, like, it was just like, I was like, we've been killing this guy as a passer for, outside of last year, four years, right?
Yeah.
He was off his rookie deal. 4 years, we've been killing him as a passer. And then the second you go, hey, what if I give you a number one wide receiver that's a legit threat to actually catch the football and score? It's like, oh no, yeah, I can deal with that. I can throw to that guy on a consistent basis. I think that if we continue to see him go down the path that he started last season during the regular season, to me, I didn't think that, yes, the blitz got to him, but I thought, to me, the biggest problem Lamar had last year, because there were opportunities. The blitz got to him, but he overthrows Zay Flowers. He doesn't make the right play right by the end zone, right? Mentally, I thought they crumpled under a championship team success.
But he's always done that, like, his whole career, and he's won two MVPs, a phenomenal player.
Yeah.
He's probably the most exciting player to watch in the NFL. But his career right now, legacy wise, and like getting over the hump and getting to a Super Bowl and being that elite level, is marred by, dude, big moments in the red zone, you're throwing a pick.
Yeah.
We can basically count on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Josh Allen in his game, and he escapes so much of that slander.
I don't feel like he escapes any of it. I think
he's won two MVPs.
I think people, but every one of those MVPs is begrudging. Every one of them is like,
and nobody really wanted.
We kind of got to give it to him, but I don't like it. Like
the first one was unanimous. Last year felt a little bit like, what was it, 2-3 years ago when Rodgers won his MVP?
Yeah, it was
kind of just nobody really had a great year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, you're the MVP. Like last year kind of felt like that. Mahomes was good, but Mahomes was also the worst he's ever been in his career. Yeah. So we're just going to give this to Lamar.
It absolutely felt like that. Like I feel like. I think the first one was excitement because of how nobody expected him to do it. Nobody expected him to play that way.
Well, what did he have? 1,000 yards rushing and 3,000 yards passing?
3,200, something like that. Yeah. But then the last year's MVP to me was very much like, ugh. I mean, he's better. Like, he's better than he was when we gave him the first one. Like, that was the argument we kept seeing. He's better than he was when he won his first MVP. I was like, well, I'd hope so. He's in year five of his career. I'd hope that he's better.
The touchdown,
and he's got a better weapon.
The touchdown passes still weren't there, though.
Yeah.
The interceptions happened a little more frequently than I would like.
Yeah.
There's just concerns I have with this team.
I'll take the over, but I can see why you've got your concerns.
Last one I got for you quickly is off the field. You know, the Chargers and the Bills have these kind of wacky social media accounts. They get weird.
Yeah.
They shitpost, for lack of a better term.
Oh, yeah. There's trolls on there.
The Patriots are about to enter the chat.
Ooh.
Think about all of these poor social media interns and social media workers who have been crushed under the weight of Bill Belichick's tight ship. These cats are dying to get weird. They are going to overcorrect from being so locked up. They're gonna get wacky.
Are they going NBA Brazil levels? Have you seen those?
The Timberwolves Brazil account.
Those get weird.
They get some furry stuff in there.
Yeah, there's a little odd. Are you going that far?
It's a little odd. Well, the Patriots don't have a furry mascot, so I think they're safe in that regard.
But it could be worse.
Like the Bills always do these weird shitpost things where they're like giving Josh – it's like the dreamy TikTok ones.
Yeah.
They're like giving Josh Allen a gift, and then they're on a playground, and there's like something scary happening. I think the Patriots are going to get weird. It's the overcorrection of the Belichick tenure. We're getting weird.
I'm not out on that. I'm here to see that. I'm not going to lie. Like I kind of want to see it because I want to see – what the ship is actually going to look like, because new head coach, new quarterback, all of that there. But are they going to deviate that far away from – it's not the Belichick way. It's the Patriot way. I don't know if they're going to deviate that far from the Patriot way under new leadership.
Well, it's new leadership in the front office, but the owner is still the guy that was getting rub downs at a – massage, so we know he'll get a little loose.
But we know that he doesn't want to talk about it from the Tom Brady rose. It's like,
doesn't mean doesn't mean I don't have to talk about it. Is Tom Brady in the room with us?
Every game they lose, it's just like a different team in a massage parlor, different team's mascot in a massage parlor on Twitter.
I hope that they get, because the exclusionary kind of arrogant, and I'm a fan, but the arrogant brand is like, enough. Let's get weird with the rest of the teams. Let's embrace Gen Z culture, please. I wish this for everyone.
I don't think there's one Gen Z person working in their social media account.
You know, but all
it's you. You basically your doppelgangers in the social media account.
I'm good. Like the thing, I wish all these teams would embrace what the Chargers and the Bills do and go kind of Gen Z whack mode with the social media. Like I like what the Bears do with their schedule release videos.
Yeah,
they're
very
like tightly. Highly produced.
Yeah.
They look expensive. They look really good. Get weird. Make them funny. The Chargers did The Sims, and they were drowning what's-his-face in the water. They put Harrison Butker in the kitchen The Sims.
I will say, I think the Bears tried to get funny, but you had DJ Moore as the lead.
Right. Like, and that's where I'm like, let's just go as weird as possible. Get wacky.
See, Chargers go anime, and that speaks to my heart.
So I love it.
I love that they always go like a different anime intro for their schedule release. And I'm just like, first off, can we get a season of this? Like, can like every game just be redone as a different anime style and fight scene? I'd watch the I bet you. Oh, that's fire! Actually, you'd get more people watching Chargers football than are showing up in the stadium with the fake fans. What happened to that lady, by the way? What happened to her?
She
was a weird story for like 3 weeks.
That was so odd. It was so weird. I memory hold it. I forgot about it until you just brought it up. Yeah. But I remember logging on to different news entities every day, and it was like Charger Girl. And I'm like, there's no way this girl's real,
bro.
She's a plant.
She's like, oh my god. I was like, are you biting?
Like over emoting on every play. I'm like, oh, there's no shot.
I love that they were also like. Like they found her in like the Vikings jersey, and they were like, she's a plant. She gets put around stadiums
ridiculous
that need help with their fan base, I guess. And they're like, she's like, well, no, like we went to a Vikings game because my kid plays his little league team is the Vikings. And I was like, no parent ever has been like, yeah, my kid's little league team is the Patriots. So you know what I did? I flew to go watch the team at Foxborough.
And bought a jersey.
Right.
Like, are you insane? Dude, that whole thing, I totally forgot about that. That is wild. But hey, you know what? If you're the Chargers, you relocated from San Diego to LA, and now you don't have any fans. So I guess that's what you got to do.
Listen, I'm telling you, you make every game, you redo it as an anime-designed show. I guarantee you more people will watch Chargers football because they'll be like, okay, I want to know the plot that's coming this week. There'll be no, like, honestly, I want to know the storyline that's coming around this.
Jim Harbaugh as an anime character would be fantastic.
Oof.
Would be fantastic. Oh. He's such a weirdo.
Yeah.
Hates chickens. They're a nervous bird. You could do Family Guy style, like anime style, but it's Jim Harbaugh fighting a chicken.
Family Guy style? Yeah. They might have missed the ball on that one. Family Guy style might have been the way to do the schedule release this year.
Jim Harbaugh is Peter Griffin.
Why is it kind of fit? Like, if Jim Harbaugh gets fat, you think about the glasses that he's wearing now. Like, it kind of fits.
Isn't there one where Peter gets skinny? I don't watch the show a lot, but like, Jim Harbaugh, skinny Peter Griffin. He's a weird dude, man.
That's not a bad take. That may be the best one. It wasn't even on the paper.
There you go. Bill, the Chargers social media team, please bill this hour to ESPN Chicago.
100%.
Thank you.
We need all that money. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Shay, appreciate you coming on the show with your bold predictions. I think there was some good ones. The social media team here at ESPN is going to get weird on this episode.
There we go.
I like it. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. For Shay Norling, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Let us know your bold predictions on this season's NFL coming up. Y'all stay safe out of Chicago. Peace.